example right now, and I went and sent ahead. I don't know whether you guys have that. I went and sent ahead a confession, a little confession. I thought it would be good for us to say together. Oh, there it is. Excellent. You did get it. So Paul said, I believe and therefore I speak, and I believe in the power of declaring the word of God. And so let's go ahead and say this together this morning. Now you're welcome to lay hold of your Bible and hold it up in the air. And if you don't have it handy, just hold your hand up in faith. And I have all kind of Bible translations right here. So let's say this together. I boldly confess. Let's stop. We're going to say it together. Otherwise, we have an echo effect. Okay, you ready? I boldly confess that this is my Bible. I am what God said I am. I have what God said I have, and I can do what God said I can do. Today I'll have a listening ear, an open mind, and a receptive heart. I shall receive the engrafted word of God down in my spirit. It will transform my life, renew my mind, and change my thinking. I will never be the same as the way I came in the name of Jesus. And if you agreed with that, say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to revisit something, and I'm going to give you an intense overview of something that I brought to this church 12 years ago. And you say, well, why would you revisit something? Well, I'm going to revisit it because I was asked to. And a lot of you maybe weren't. How many of you weren't even here? You weren't even part of YCF 12 years ago. There's going to be, quite a bit of hands. So I'm going to minister this morning. I have 55 minutes to do it. When the clock strikes 12, we all disperse. At the end of our closing, I will open up the altar. At the end of our closing today, we will have an anointing service, and it will be a healing service. But that will be at the conclusion of today's meeting at 12 o'clock. So at 12 o'clock, we will close in prayer, and those of you that need to keep your reservations, then you will be dismissed, and service is over. Those of you that have small children downstairs, you will need to collect them. For those of you that would like to stay a little bit longer, we will have an anointing service and healing service. I'll get into specifics after. So I'm going to begin real quick by starting out this way. When I was a missionary overseas, and it was Czechoslovakia when I moved there, I had done evangelistic crusades, started a lot of churches, a Bible school, and the people that came into the kingdom of God at that point, they saw signs and wonders and miracles. It was normal, it was an everyday, ordinary occurrence for them. They saw it. And so we as missionaries wanted to absolutely make it sure and clear that they recognize that it's not about us, it's only about Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're not the healer, we're an instrument, but likewise, they also are an instrument. And so I remember on one occasion, I had a young girl, 17, 18 years old, I believe her name was Pavlina, and she came to me one day and she said, well, Brother Todd, I work and I, you know, help teach at a school with disabled children, and a lot of the kids in my class, they are unable to hear. They're deaf. Would you be so kind and would you come to the school and please pray for some of the children in my class? So my first course of action was to ask, you know, this teenager this question. I said, Pavlina, have you prayed for them? And she says, well, no. Well, why haven't you prayed for them? Well, I thought that you pray, but that's what you do, Todd, Brother Todd. You know, I was the pastor. That's what you do. And I says, no. These signs shall follow those who believe. You get to pray too. And I said, so there's no reason for me to, you know, come all the way down and pray for them if you haven't even bothered to pray for the kid yourself. She said, well, I wasn't certain that I was able to pray for them. I said, are you a Christian? Yes. You believe in the Lord? Yes. You believe the word of God is true? Yes. I said, then go do it. So within a week, we gathered together again, and she came in the service, and she came up to me, and she said, "Brother Todd, I did exactly what you instructed me to do." And my next question is, "Well, what happened?" She said, "I began to pray, lay hands on the children in my class, those who were not able to hear." She didn't say everyone, but she said, "A lot of the children in my class that had never heard before started to hear for the first time." Isn't that awesome? I mean, this is just a young girl, hasn't been saved but a few months, never went to Bible school, was not raised in church, but yet once she realized that the signs follow the believers and she is included in that number, and she was willing to step out and obey God, then you know what happened? The Lord showed up. So what we're going to talk about within the next, 50 minutes here is how to minister the healing power of God to those around. And we're always going to have opportunities. You know that. Whether it's with a complete stranger, a neighbor, a colleague at work, maybe a friend in school, maybe a teacher, an employer, an employee, somebody in a restaurant, the cashier who's checking you out on your way, passing through the line there at Walmart or at the grocery store. We're all constantly surrounded with people. And sometimes you'll have that leading by the Holy Spirit to just step up and offer, "If it's okay, can I pray with you?" Sometimes they might even, give that signal by hinting about what they're going through. "And I woke up this morning and I had this backache and my back's been killing me all day and I feel like I'm coming down with the flu. My throat's starting to feel scratchy." You know how people give those little signals off. Sometimes they are just simply doing it and hope that they maybe will receive some compassion, some sympathy from others who are around. And the amazing thing is that as a Christian, a New Testament Christian, you're in a unique position because "such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed." You and me, we have that authority. We've been authorized to use the name of Jesus, and so we always have that opportunity to step up to the plate and move in the healing power of God. So here's what I'm going to just begin to ask you a number of questions this morning. We're going to look at a couple of foundational scriptures, and then I'm going to make a lot of one-liner statements, and you might want to write it down, and we are going to get this train rolling. How many of you have ever seen somebody healed by the power of God in church? Now, I know if you've been coming to YCF, certainly you would have witnessed that here. How many of you have ever seen somebody healed by the power of God outside? Beyond these four walls, you've seen people healed outside of this church. Good. Now, here's the biggie. How many of you have been the instrument that God has used beyond these four walls where you reached out and you laid hands and you prayed for an individual and you saw instantaneously the miracle working power of God happen right before your eyes and they instantly had a healing testimony? Can I see those hands? So there's significantly a lot less. Maybe 10% hands lifted, 90% don't have your hands lifted. That can change today. That's my assignment, to help you to get to that place. And when you have these simple keys and understanding in the Word of God, then when the meeting is over and we all exit and we go our ways, you will be further equipped to move and to flow and to operate in the healing power of God. Is anybody interested in that? When I was younger, I don't want to say when I was young, when I was younger, and I sat where you guys sit. Now, you guys look fairly young, y'all teenagers or whatever. Okay, so when I sat where you sat, and I was in church a long time ago, at least 5 or 10 years ago, when I sat where you sat, I would come to these services, not here, but in other states where I lived, and I would see ministers get up. And I would see the healing power of God flow. And I used to sit there where you sat, and I would say to myself, "Well, that's pretty neat. That's awesome. Boy, that would be wonderful If God would use me in that way, if God would use me that I could actually pray for the sick and then see them healed by the power of God, I mean, who knows? How do I get from this place to this place? Well, that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. We're going to fast track you right up to the front of the line. Are you ready? All right. Let's look at two particular scriptures, and then we're going to use this as a launching pad. Mark's Gospel in chapter 16. Mark 16, verse 15. This is referred to in this particular passage as the Great Commission. And so Jesus made this statement in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Gospel means good news. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." What are they, Jesus? "Well, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents." Who are they, Jesus? The believing ones. "They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Let's all say that last sentence together. "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." One more time. "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Whose responsibility is it to do the laying on of hands? God or ours? It's ours. Whose responsibility then is it to do the healing? God or ours? His. So if I do my part and I lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name, then God will do his part, and his part is he heals the sick. Now, there will be times in your life, as been in mine, where you will see instantaneous results right before your eyes. And when you start to see some of those things happen before your eyes, it's like, woo, this stuff is real. This is amazing. There will be other times that when you pray, if you will listen carefully today, I'll give you the tools. If you pray for an individual and you give them the right ingredients to walk away with, that they know exactly what do I do from this point forward, then the healing will manifest. Sometimes it'll manifest by the time they even get out to their vehicle, the manifestation comes. By the time they wake up tomorrow morning, the manifestation comes. I prayed for a guy that lost his hearing in the state of Virginia. He says, I got sick. I forget the type of illness. And he said, "I have heard nothing out of this ear for like 3 to 6 months. It was been a while ago. And he said, I'm completely deaf. I laid hands on him. There was no instant results, but I gave him the ingredients to just hold on to what the Lord had done this morning as I prayed for him and we prayed together and believed God. 3 days later, he said, "I'm on my way to work," and suddenly it dawned on me that my ear that had been completely closed up now for months was now entirely open and I was able to hear. So you're going to see those mixed results. There are going to be those times where you lay hands on the sick and it's instantly. You pray for them and they're like, "Where did the pain go? How's that possible? I couldn't lift my arm, and now look at it. I'm able to lift my arm. What just happened there?" And as long as we're sure and we're faithful to give all the glory and credit to the Lord will continue to use you. But then again, there might be those opportunities. There will be those times where when you lay hands on the sick, maybe the healing doesn't manifest 100%, but that's okay. Because if you know what, to say and to educate that person, then that healing will not be lost. The manifestation of that healing, it will absolutely come. So I don't have the time right now to get into this. What I'm sharing today is kind of like the clip notes of about a 4 or 5 hour seminar on empowering Christians to flow in the healing. So we're doing this intensely. We're taking a 4 to 5 hour seminar, and we're packaging it for you in under 60 minutes. Okay, so let's keep reading here. James in chapter 5. Please go ahead and open your Bibles there, and let me at least call your attention to that scripture. James in chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 15, verse 13 is what we'll begin with. No, verse 14. We'll compromise. Verse 14. "Is any sick among you?" He's writing to the Christians. Is there any sick Christians out there? Then call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So a couple of things to highlight here. Notice what type of prayer heals the sick. The prayer of what heals the sick? The prayer of the elders heals the sick, or is it the prayer of faith heals the sick? It's the prayer of faith. And I also want you to notice, because this is equally as important, call for the elders of the church, let them anoint him with oil. The word elders is just talking about somebody that's older. They're older than you are. Somebody that is of age, and somebody that is advanced in life. An elder, a senior. Are you a senior citizen? Well, you get a free soda at Wendy's as long as you can prove that you're over this age. And there you go. And so this is what it's talking about. An elder, somebody older than you, let them pray. But the person's healing is not based on the age of the person who's praying for them. Just because they're an elder, they're older, they're a senior citizen, they're older than you. No, 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 no. The type of prayer that heals the sick is the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The word save means to heal, preserve, to do well, and to make whole. So the prayer of faith, it will make whole the sick person. And so these are very, very key ingredients. I know these are foundational scriptures, but I needed to make mention of them in order to take you any further down the road. Okay, so here's what we have so far, and that is the first and foremost prerequisite for you or me to operate in the healing power of God is that we must be a Christian. The Bible does not say that these signs shall follow the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The Bible did say that these signs shall follow the believing ones. And the first and foremost qualification for an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, the first and foremost qualification for even that type of individual to minister the healing power of God is they also have to be a believer, right? And so that's the key. So when I was their age, as these three young men sitting over here are, then I didn't understand that. I just assume, well, I have to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher in order for God to use me in the miraculous. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. And that is a lie from the enemy. And as long as Christians have that mindset that if I don't stand in a fivefold ministry, if I'm not placed in one of those offices, then I might as well hang it up and forget about praying for the sick. Jesus said, the signs follow the believing ones, and one of those signs is that they, you, the believing one, will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And James said, let me clarify that for you, the type of prayer that's going to heal the sick when you and me pray for a sick person, the kind of prayer that heals them is the prayer of faith. Not the prayer of, I got my fingers crossed, my toes crossed, and I'm hoping for the best. This is not the prayer of faith. Faith begins when the will of God is known. How do I establish what the will of God is? Do I turn on CNN, the Carnal News Network? Do I read the morning's newspaper? How do I establish the will of God? Well, there's only one place that we can turn to if we want to establish the will of God. You guys want to give me an idea of where that might be? The Bible. The Bible is the will of God. Old Testament, New Testament. Testament meaning will. We have the old will, the new will. And if you're gonna have to decide, well, which one should I spend more time in reading? I'd rather spend more time in the new will, the New Testament, than the Old Testament. The Old Testament is amazing, but it foreshadows and things of what the New Testament reveals to us. But between me and you, I'd rather focus in on the New Testament because this is where I live now. I didn't live 4,000 years ago. This is where I live today. So I want to know now because the Word of God is progressive revelation. We have more insight today, right now, than they did living under the Old Testament. Okay? We have more insight and revelation now, today in 2024, than Paul did way back then, 2,000 years ago. For your information, because it's all progressive revelation. And so the Holy Spirit is constantly giving birth to new facets of revelation. And so we can always go in God as far as we want to go. We can run with God as fast as we want to run, unless we are willing to just sit down and, you know, in a seat of mediocrity and say, well, that's enough for me. This is as far as I want to go. Now, if you're like me, I'm not satisfied. I thank God for what I have seen in my lifetime and for what I know. But I realize that I've only scratched the surface, that there is so much more. And God even reminds us of that. He said, your eye hasn't even seen and your ear hasn't even heard and it hasn't even entered into your heart the things that I have prepared for those who love me. And as far as I'm concerned, Lord, I want to see more. I want to do more. I want to go further. I want to run my race. Yes, I want to finish that at some point in my life. But until that day comes, Lord, I am available. I am at your service. Talk to me. Show me where I'm missing it. Help me to get it right. If I'm off base, if I've wandered to the left or to the right, Lord, help me get back into the middle of the road. So James said the prayer of faith heals the sick. And first and foremost, if I'm going to pray the prayer of faith and the will of God is revealed by the word of God, then what that means is if I'm going to pray for you, if you were sick and I was going to pray for you, I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that healing is the will of God for this man. If I don't know, if I'm not absolutely convinced beyond all reasonable doubt that healing is the will of God for this man, then it becomes impossible for me to pray the prayer of faith. Faith begins when the will of God is known. And my faith will never rise beyond my level or understanding of the word of God. So I can't pray the prayer of faith for him unless I first have established chapter and verse in the Bible what God's will is for him. And I don't really have to dig so deep. I don't have to be a Bible scholar. I just have to at least familiarize myself to some degree with the New Testament. For example, 1 Peter 2:24, whose own soul bears sins in his body on the tree, that I being dead in the sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes? Jesus, by his stripes, he was healed. Oh, okay, 3 John 2, above all things, brother, above all things, I desire that you be in health. You know, it talks about as thy soul prospers, but he talks about the will of God being that we are in health. And of course, you know, if we combine them with all the others, we have Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, for our iniquities, the punishment needful to obtain our peace he bore, by his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8, 16 and 17, when evening was come, they brought unto Jesus those that were sick, demon-possessed. He cast them spirits out with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3, 6. I am the Lord, I do not change. Hebrews 13, 8, this is the which I just quoted. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means if he ever had compassion and ability to heal the sick yesterday, he must have the same compassion and ability to heal the sick today, because if Jesus cannot and will not heal the sick today, then evidently he changed. And if God has changed, then that invalidates the word of God. So, if I'm going to pray for somebody, I have to be absolutely convinced beyond all reasonable doubt that healing is the will of God. And if you're not, then don't even bother standing up, stretching forth your hand, and opening your mouth at all, because you will be disappointed. God always responds when he sees faith in action. And so what we need to do is just simply school ourselves into faith by spending more time in God's word. And as we do, what happens? It affects our belief system. And as my belief system becomes rooted and grounded in the word of God, then I become that much more persuaded that God is who he said he is. He will do what he said he will do. And if I'm willing to do my part and stretch forth my hand in the name of Jesus, then God is willing to meet me at that point and heal the sick. Are you with me? Okay, so let's move on here. And again, we're not going into too much detail. I'm just kind of giving you these are the cliff notes here. and so forth. Don't ever allow human experience to get in the way whenever you are ministering to the sick. There are going to be times if you minister to the sick where maybe nothing happens in front of your eyes. And you're going to walk away from that experience and the devil will be right by your side. He'll say, you see, brother, there was no sense of you to pray for that person. They're still sick. They're still in pain. What a waste of your time. What an embarrassment. You sure you want to do that again? Never allow human experience to get in the way whenever you're ministering to the sick. Always pray from a redemptive standpoint. When I minister to the sick, and you need to write that down. Always pray from a redemptive standpoint. Do you know what that means? To pray from a redemptive standpoint means, what did Jesus do through his death, burial, and resurrection? What did he accomplish? Is he alive? Yes. Check. Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes. Check. Is he still a healer? Yes, he is. Check. Does he stand behind his word? Yes. Check. He said he's exalted, Psalms 138, verse 2, I've exalted my word even above my own name. He watches over his word to bring it to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So all those things being equal, then I must never be ashamed or embarrassed or step away from opportunities that present themselves, because those are usually the opportunities that could have not only affected that person's life, but they could have affected your belief system. So case in point, you pray for someone and they have a recreative miracle. You pray for somebody and that tumor disappears. You pray for somebody that was born deaf and 5 seconds later, now they're able to hear. You pray for somebody that was dying and now they're living today. You pray for somebody that maybe sustained an injury and now they're instantly fully recovered. No surgery necessary. Hello. Wow. Okay. How do you contend with that? I saw it. I was there. I witnessed it. I experienced it. The doctors confirmed it. Thank you, Jesus. So it radically affects you. You know, I can't walk away and say, well, you know, God doesn't really heal today. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Todd, when you pray for that 18-year-old girl born deaf and then suddenly she began to hear? What are you going to do, Brother Todd, about that little 3-year-old boy that had the smallest bone inside of the inner ear removed because of a pressing tumor, leaving him completely deaf, impossible for him to ever hear again? What are you going to do now that you prayed for him and the doctor said, well, we don't know how to explain it, but that little tiniest bone in the body that we removed is now somehow or another back inside of his ear, and this boy can hear again. What are you going to do? You know, when the doctors say, this couple is not going to be able to have kids, and the next thing you know it, you know, the mother rolls in the service pushing a baby stroller. I've seen all of those things that I've described to you. When you see that, obviously it has an impact on you. You know, I can't walk away and say, well, I don't believe God heals. That would just make me a bold-faced liar, because I've seen him do things like that. So if you want to minister to the sick, you've got to be absolutely convinced beyond all reasonable doubt that healing is the will of God in the first place. To help us get that established within our hearts is going to be the will of God, is going to be the word of God. But even in fact, if there are those times that you pray for the sick and maybe you didn't see something instantly take place, that's okay. The next time that opportunity presents itself, rather than me reflect and say, well, you know, the last person I prayed for, I didn't really see anything happen. Woo, I don't know if I want to pray for this one or not. I didn't really see anything happen. No. The next person that steps up to the plate, when I go to pray for them, I am still praying from a redemptive standpoint. I'm going to lay hands on you all because of what Jesus did and because of what Jesus said in his word. That's why I have the confidence to pray for you. Not because of my human experience, whether I experienced the healing power of God or not, but what gives me the confidence and boldness to lay hands on you is because I am praying from a redemptive standpoint. There are going to be times in your life, and there have been in mine, where people fail to receive healing. And again, these are cliff notes. And so it can be a whole lot of reasons why. There could be unforgiveness, hate in their heart. Some people don't want to be totally healed because I've heard them say to me, well, I have all these things wrong with me. Brother Todd, no. Don't pray that God heals me of everything, because if he does, I'm going to lose my disability check each month. And so I don't want that to happen. Okay, so you want to just pray for part of these problems, but not all of them. So you're basically seeing God as a healer, but he's not able to provide for you. That's where we're at. Is that what we're saying? And so there's going to be a lot of reasons. Sometimes in situations, you have individuals, and they make all the right confessions. I've been there. Well, I believe the by stripes I'm healed, I'm going to live and not die, and then they die. And you walk away scratching your head thinking, okay, what just happened there? Well, Again, there's a whole lot of reasons. One of them being, sometimes people, when they're there, right there on the edge of stepping on over into eternity, and they get a glimpse of the other side, there's nothing that is encouraging them to stay in this body when they've glimpsed over to the other side and they're like, I want to go home. I've seen heaven. I see the angels. They're standing in my room and they're beckoning me, telling me, come on, just let go. Just slip out of that body, just like you took your foot right out of your shoe. Come on. There are things that happen. It's like the secret things belong to the Lord, the Bible says. Sometimes people set things in motion by the words of their mouth years before. And that momentum has built up over and over and over for years. And then all of a sudden they're stricken and they're in bed and they're in the hospital. And obviously it doesn't look too good for them. But they have set things in motion by the words of their mouth. And I'm thinking of an instant now, and I know this firsthand, of an individual, and he said, when I die, I'm going to die of the same thing that my father did, and I'm going to die the same age that my father died of. And now, it wasn't like 25, 26, it was up there, and it would have been maybe in the 60s, maybe 60-something years old, but guess what? He found himself in the hospital dying of the same thing that killed his father. And guess what age he died? The same age that his father died. So, and people were there, oh, we're just praying he's going to make it. But yet sometimes people have already set things in motion for decades, and they continually feed that by the words of their mouth. A man's belly shall be satisfied, the Bible says. How? By what he says, by the words of his mouth. Thou art snared by the words of thy mouth. And so if a person realizes and recognizes what they have done and why they're in the dilemma that they're in today because of their silly mouth, and they've been speaking death over their life, or I still believe that God is big enough and God is gracious that they can turn and they can repent of that even in an instant like that and still expect and believe God for the miraculous. But a lot of times people don't see that. They don't recognize that. There is no repentance. There is no remorse. And then finally they meet their end, and then Christians wander around thinking, well, I don't know. I mean, we were all praying. We were all praying as a church. We were all praying. Well, here's an interesting thing, just a little news flash. It's hard enough to get, if two of you shall agree on earth, it's hard enough to get two people to agree, let alone 50 or 60 in a church, to agree on the same thing. Are you listening? Because if we said, oh, let's pray for brother so-and-so, there's going to be some of you that say, yeah, we're believing for a miraculous turnaround. And others, very well in the congregation of this size, could be thinking, well, maybe it's his time. And others could be thinking, well, you know what? I mean, God is in control, so if it's his will for him to be healed, he'll be healed, and if not, he'll die. So we clearly don't have agreement. And that leads me to this. A lot of people look at healing from a human experience standpoint, and just what I alluded to a second ago. If it's the will of God for you to be healed, sister, then you're going to be healed. I'm going to pray for you, and if it's God's will for you to be healed, you'll be healed. And if it's not God's will for you to be healed, then you're going to die. So if I pray for you and you are healed, we say, glory to God, it was his will. God's in control. Well, remember, God's only in control of what we place in his hand. The problem lies in the fact that not everybody places 100% of everything in the hands of God. We're like, God, you can have everything except what's in that closet. Don't touch that. We're not going there. That's mine. Off limits, Lord. Yes, I love you. Yes, Lord. You're Lord of my life. However, I still enjoy this. And so there are exclusions. Well, remember, if Jesus is in charge, there's no exclusions. So in the situation where I pray for the sister and maybe she doesn't make it, then people say, well, it must not have been the will of God. So now what we have done, if we have now used her experience to establish what God's will was. Does anybody see the error in that? I'm going to pray for you, and if you die, it must have been the will of God. If you live, it must have been the will of God. So we're going to use your outcome to establish what the will of God was. So now human experience becomes the gauge to determine the will of God. Rather than using the Word of God to determine and establish the will of God. How many of you believe that if we want to establish what God's will is, there's only one place that we ought to be looking to, and that is the Word of God and not somebody's experience, right? Thank you. So now that you've passed that marker, let me move on real quickly here. Is Jesus still a miracle worker? Has God changed? Of course he has not. I've given you the scriptures. Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord, I don't change. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good, healing all that were sick. Jesus still heals today. You've witnessed those things. I've witnessed those things. What happened when Jesus walked the earth? Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed every sickness and he healed every disease among the people. What else happened? Well, not only did Jesus go around healing the sick, but he also commanded the disciples to heal the sick. This is what the scripture tells us. Luke 10:8, whatever city you enter, and they receive you and eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. What else happened back then? Well, not only did disciples heal the sick, but the early church healed the sick. And we see this in the Gospel of Acts in many places. For example, Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, and the Lord confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. So this is amazing. Not only did it stop, it doesn't just stop there, but Jesus went on to say, now all believers shall lay hands on the sick. These signs shall follow the believing ones. And so he didn't just keep it to himself. He didn't just keep it to the 12. He didn't just extend it to the early church. He extended it worldwide. Go into all the world and preach. These signs follow the believing ones. One of them is they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What capacity did Jesus minister to the sick? People say, well, Jesus healed the sick because he's the Son of God. Now, I mean, I've talked to people like that. Well, do you think Jesus really did miracles when he was here on earth? Well, of course, he was the Son of God. So what you're saying is that he did the miracles because he was the Son of God, and because I'm not the Son of God, I can't. That's what you're saying. Well, absolutely. So then you have to ask yourself, in what capacity did Jesus minister to the sick? Did Jesus minister to the sick, open blind eyes, cleanse the lepers? Did Jesus minister to the sick as the Son of God from that standpoint? Or did he minister to the sick as the Son of Man who was anointed by the Spirit of God? There's your answer right there. I can't go into any more detail into that, but suffice to say, the book of Philippians, I give you the scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, let this mind be in you. It was in Christ Jesus, who though existing in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And it goes on to say, but he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself out. He did not use his position as God as some power play, some power move in a game. He did not go forth ministering to the sick because I'm the Son of God. That's why I can do this. No, he emptied himself out. And I can't go into any more detail than that. But suffice to say, the reason why Jesus did what he did is because he was anointed by the Spirit of God. He was the Son of Man, anointed by the Spirit of God. Now, if Jesus ministered to the sick as a man who was anointed by the Holy Ghost, then that puts us on even grounds, because we then also can minister to the sick as long as we know that we are anointed by the Spirit of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, and you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. 1 John 2 and verse 27. But the anointing which you have received, it abides on the inside of you. The anointing. When we hear the word anointing, we have to equate that with the person, the power, and the presence of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And so you, brother and sister, are also anointed to do the works of Jesus. Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 14, 12 through 14, the works that I do, you will also do. In fact, greater works than these you will do because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'm going to do it to bring glory to the Father. If you ask the Father anything in my name, I will do it. So when we pray, we're praying in the name of Jesus. When I lay hands on the sick, I am speaking and praying and representing the Lord. So I am praying in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, ear open. In the name of Jesus, I speak to arthritis that binds this body. I speak to cancer cells that are active in this body. I speak to those in the name of Jesus. Go! I'm speaking in the name of Jesus. Why? Because he authorized you. He authorized me to use his name. We get to have fun. He went into the arena. He did all the rounds with the enemy. And guess what? He turns right around and he gives us the victory. The Bible says that he leads us in his triumphant procession. Isn't that awesome? He does the battle. We get to enjoy the prize. That to me is amazing. So let's move on real quick here. So the anointing obviously was necessary in the life of Jesus for him to minister to the sick. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit is also necessary in your life and mine if we want to see results. Here's a very big key here. Jesus walked in the reputation of the Father through the power of the Spirit. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. Let me give you a couple, four examples. John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 7:16, Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, it is his who sent me. John chapter 8:26, what I have heard from him, this is what I am telling the world. John chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, I do nothing on my own, but I speak only what the Father has taught me, and I always do what pleases him. And there's more verses. But you're beginning to see the picture that he ministered as the Son of God, anointed by the Spirit of God, and he made sure that his message was not about him. He always drew attention to the Father because Jesus walked in the reputation of the Father. Guess whose reputation we're to walk in today? We walk in the reputation of Jesus. He walks in the reputation of the Father, only telling people what he saw and what he heard. We now walk in the reputation of Jesus, telling others what we have seen and what we have heard. We'll get there. What about the ministry of Jesus? Just again, these are cliff notes here. 24 specific accounts recorded in the Gospels. 24. And these are, there's a lot other general ones, but when I say specific ones, I'm talking about blind Bartimaeus. Right? His eyes were open. Or the fellow by the pool of Bethesda. healed miraculously. The lady whose widow's son was raised up in the middle of funeral service. That's a specific one. Or, the raising of Lazarus. These are specific. There are 24 specific healing example, miracle examples in the New Testament. 50% of them, that's 12 out of 24, 50% of the time, the reason why they were healed was always attributed because of the person's faith. Thy faith has made thee whole. As you have believed, be it unto you. 50% of the time, out of those 12, there's 12 and 12, so out of category one, the 12 of the times the people were healed on account of their faith, there are 10 out of those 12 specifically where it is recorded, thy faith has made thee whole. You know, go as you have believed, be it unto you. 10 out of those 12 times, Jesus attributed the person's healing as a result of their faith. The other two, which make up the 12, 10 plus 2 is 12. The other two, it is the individual. It shows that they came to Jesus expecting to be healed, and they left completely healed. And so that gives us the other two. So that's 12 out of 12. Their faith was the reason why they were healed. The other category, the other 12, is when the Lord stepped in, when the Lord initiated the healing. For example, you have Jesus, he's in a synagogue one day, and there's a guy out there, you know, with a lame hand. I want that man out there, yeah, the one with the withered hand, I want you to stand up in front of everybody. Now I want you to stretch forth. Jesus initiated the healing. That guy just came to church, minding his business. When the funeral service is going on and Jesus interrupts the funeral service and raises this young man right up out of the coffin in the middle of the funeral service, he initiated the healing. The guy that was at the pool of Bethesda minding his own business, waiting for some angel to come down and stir the water, Jesus walked up to him without going into all the detail. He initiated the healing. 50% of the healing miracles recorded in the New Testament, this is one I would refer to it as the gifts of the Spirit, the power of God, him, Jesus, initiating that healing. But the other half of the time, it's when people came to the Lord and they made a demand on him. Their faith was drawing from the Lord and they walked away with the same results. And you say, well, why is that important? Because there are going to be times whenever you minister to the sick, especially when they are unsaved, you're going to see a higher percentage of the miraculous take place when you are ministering to those who do not know the Lord. That's the reason why. That's why. So I remember one day I was out in the streets of the Czech Republic and you know, calling people forward, and they're just randomly coming. I'm asking, what's wrong? Okay, you're in pain. Oh, this hurts. You've had that. And I prayed for them, and I'd say, okay, now stand back. I want you to examine yourself. Yes, the pain's gone. It feels better. Thank you, Jesus. I had a young man who was there with me one day, and he said, Todd, I don't know whether you realize it. You prayed for 300 people that day. I haven't shared this story for so long. What was the number? It was like 200. I think it was a 295, 299. It was almost the 300 limit. He said they were all healed with healing manifestations right there on the spot. It was like 295 out of 300 all had instant healing testimonies. Out of 300. Now think about this. I was ministering and I was in a unique position because I'm in a post-communistic nation. People don't even believe that God exists. So I'm there saying, waving the flag, saying, there is a God. The communists lied to you. They're liars. God is not dead. He's alive. He's here now. Let me pray for you. Let's find out for yourself. And God shows up. So you're always going to see that increased percentage of results when you are bold enough and not ashamed of the gospel, and you're willing to just pray for somebody. Maybe they don't go to church. Maybe, you know, they're away from God. Maybe they've never known the Lord. Maybe they don't even believe in God. I'm agnostic. I'm an atheist. I'm this, that, or the other. And in those instances, this is when God comes down and puts the apple on their tree because their faith isn't strong enough to produce it. It's not that they're coming to you saying, pray for me. It's rather you're initiating the healing. You're going to them saying, let me pray for you and let's see if God is real. Let's see if what I'm telling you is true. Do you see the difference? That's you initiating it. And this is when you see an increased amount of the gifts of the Spirit and the power gifts in operation, miracles and gifts of healing and working of miracles and the gift of faith. This is when you see this stuff happen. You know, the father who brings his 12-year-old son in front of everybody publicly, and I'm saying, come on now, somebody who you know, you want to find out if God is real? I'm telling you, he is alive. He's here right now. I'm his voice. He's coming to you through my words. The communists, they're a bunch of liars. And Jesus is the same. You know, I'm just speaking, you know, inspirationally as God gives me those words. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me pray for you. And the crowd parts, and the father brings out his 12-year-old son. And he said, well, would you please pray for my son? My son is deaf. I think it was in this year. My son is completely deaf. He's unable to hear anything. I said, absolutely. So I'm the one kind of edging people on. Come on, you don't believe God is real? Come on, that dude, you come on out. Or like the lady one time, the first person I prayed for that afternoon, you know, he's alive, he's here today. You know, I'm the evangelist dude lifting my voice up. And who wants to be first? And the crowd parts, and here comes a lady in a wheelchair, and she has walking sticks attached to them. And I said, so what happened? She said, well, 9 years ago, a car drove over my leg. I've had repeated surgery after surgery. She said, I have been able to, you know, to get around to a degree with the two walking sticks, but she said, it's really become so bad. Now I'm rolling in this wheelchair. So I said, all right. So this is me edging people on. Come on. Jesus will initiate the healing. So there she is. I said, can you stand? She says, well, not without help. So some people came around. They stood and helped this lady, you know, to her feet, and they're holding her, balancing her. And I got down, in the name of Jesus, legs be healed. You know, let strength return in the name of Jesus. I kept it short and sweet because I don't have to coax myself into getting into faith. I'm not the healer. I just got to do my part and get my hands on those legs. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And then I stood up, and about 30 seconds later, I said, well, sister, go ahead. How is it? Just move those legs. And she began to lift her legs up like this and move them around. She's like beside herself. And the young man holding her up behind her, I said, boys, just back away. And so she's standing there. I said, just walk. And a lady just starts to walk like this, like there was nothing ever wrong with her to begin with. Healed instantly by the power of God, gets saved, and starts coming to the church. Without the use of a wheelchair, without the use of any type of crutches or walking sticks. So that's my point being is that when you minister to the unsaved, people that don't know Jesus, this is when God shows up in big ways and you see the big ways and you see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. When you're ministering to the saints, those who know better, those who know should know the Bible, then this is usually when faith becomes involved. This is when you ought to know, to whom much is given, much is required. It is required of a steward that he be found faithful concerning mysteries of the word of God. So if you've been around the things of God at any length of time, then the Lord expects you to arise to that. Well, you know, you've been sitting in church for the last 6 months, the last 60 years. Don't you believe my word? Don't you believe I am who I said I am? Then you take it by faith and go your way praising God like the lepers. And as they went their way praising God, then came the manifestation. So there are going to be those times. The ministry of believers today, I have 5 minutes left. Woo! The ministry of believers today, are you qualified? A couple of things I wrote down. First, if you want to minister to the sick, you want to get results, you must be a believer. I mean, if you're not a born-again believer and you're committed and sold out to God, then just hang it up, go sit down, let somebody else, you know, step up and minister. But you have to be a believer. Mark 16, the signs follow the believing ones. Number two, you must know that you are righteous. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous one availeth much, makes tremendous power available. James chapter 5, verse 16. Why is that important? Because if you don't know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, then you're going to pray from a religious standpoint instead of a faith standpoint. Oh Lord, almighty God, creator of heavens and the earth, we pray for brother so-and-so. Now, you know, we and if it be thy will, Lord, you know, to heal him, then, you know, do whatever is necessary. But Lord, if it's best to take him home, we understand. And Lord, forgive us, for we are all sinners. I mean, this is how the religious people pray. It's like it just makes me want to gag and say, man, go away from me. I feel unclean here. And you have to know and understand the righteousness of God in Christ, that you are as righteous as you'll ever get. From the day you were saved and you gave your life to Jesus, that is as righteous as you'll ever be in the sight of God, because your righteousness comes from one person, and that is Jesus. So you have to know that. And the reason why, it says if our heart condemns us, then we don't have any confidence toward God. But it says if our heart does not condemn us, then whatever we ask, we receive, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John chapter 3, 21 and 22. The next thought is this, is we must depend upon the anointing, because it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. And if Jesus had to depend upon the anointing, guess what? We do as well. The next thought is this, the same spirit that anointed Jesus of Nazareth, he is the same Holy Ghost that anoints you. He does not have a twin brother. There are not two Holy Spirits. So the same spirit that anointed him is the same one that quickens and your body and lives down on the inside. Know ye not that you are, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That anointing is in you. The next thought is that we need to depend upon the name of Jesus, because we've been authorized to use that name. Depend upon the name of Jesus. Are you listening? Absolutely. And I am not that I need to be impressed, but I am probably more grieved when I see people minister and to prayer lines and those that are sick, and they leave out the name of Jesus. It has then become more of a spectator sport. It's become more of of a circus act. I'm just going to blow on you. I'm just going to do all of these dynamics and never even incorporate or bring or draw any attention to the name of Jesus, because people are already emotional. You know, wrecks, half of the people are so emotional to begin with, it doesn't take much to get them going. And so if you get somebody that's very, you know, a flair for the dramatic, and you can get people all wired up and ready to go, it ain't going to take much to get them running around, you know. And I've been in meetings where instead of a prayer line looking like, in the name of Jesus, receive. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, sickness, go! Now it just becomes, you know, be healed, be healed, be healed. I'm going to just blow. I'm going to blow on you. I hope just air came out. And I'm just going to wave my hand. That all looks really fascinating, and it looks cool, but it doesn't give glory to God unless the person who is doing the ministering absolutely deliberately makes a point to draw all the attention to the Lord. And Jesus said, if I am lifted up, then I'm going to draw men to me. Imagine if I'm in the front and I'm helping people to go backwards. It's not the anointing. It's not in the name of Jesus. It's just, go, go, you know, I'm helping people go down. And some people do that. Imagine I'm in the front and I'm just breathing on people. I'm just waving. I'm doing all these theatrical movements. And we have a sinner that comes in the back door and he's thinking, wow, who's this guy? Is this guy like one of those Russian healers? Is he a spiritualist? Is he a hypnotist? Does he have everybody hypnotized on the front line? Because they're doing whatever he tells them to do. And there's no other conclusion that visitor can draw from if I am guilty of not drawing attention to Jesus. So if you're going to minister to the sick, it's all about him. when I would stand up in evangelistic crusades over there in Eastern Europe, night number one, and I'd do it every night, night number one, good evening, everyone. Glad that you all came. This, you know, what a privilege to be here. I want you to realize that I am not a healer. I know that there have been, you know, Russian healers that claim to have done certain things to people or spiritualists that have come here and swept through your country. I want you to know right now, I am none of those. I want you to realize that everything that is said and done tonight will be done in the name of Jesus. I want you to know that I am not a healer. Jesus is the healer. He is in this place right now, and I am the vessel. I am an instrument. And so I will do what he said. And one thing he said is that I can lay hands on the sick, and that would be you tonight, and then he would do the healing. I would lay hands on the sick, and you will recover. So everything that is said and done tonight is all done because of him, from him. I am just simply an instrument. And I would always make that clear, because I don't want people to sit out there for, I mean, these meetings go on for 8 hours. I don't want these people to sit out there and think, oh, I guess this guy has something that nobody else has, like he's a healer. No, it's all about one person. And if I would leave you with that, on that note, when you minister to the sick, an opportunity presents itself, just make it clear to the person you're praying. Now listen, I'm not a healer. I believe in God. I know he's alive, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can give him Mark 16:18. He said, Jesus said, if I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So I'm going to pray for you in his name. He's the healer. And be sure to do that, and then watch how God, he will show up. You start leaving Jesus out of the equation, you know what's going to happen? You're on your own. You're on your own. Nothing's going to happen. So on that note, we're out of time. Would you go ahead and stand to your feet with me? There's different methods of ministering to the sick. I didn't get into it today, but anointing oil, laying on of hands, speaking the word over the person, handkerchiefs. If, you know, if a loved one's not able to be there, you send them away with a handkerchief. I had a, for example, here, send them away with a handkerchief. Just like, and here you can even order these online. And this one even has a scripture, Acts 19:11-12. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. From the body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. Diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. If you want to know the website, I can give you that website information at the end of the service. But you can go and you can get little prayer cloths, we call them. Little prayer cloths with different scriptures on them. But I think that would be the best one if you're going to give it to somebody, you know, to take with them as a prayer cloth. There are different ways. The Lord's Supper, the individual's faith alone, teaching them how to receive. There's the special manifestations or gifts of the Holy Spirit, like I talked about. You especially see that when you are ministering to the unsaved. There is the, I failed to mention, did I mention this one? Oh, the anointing with oil. This is just simply a little vial of oil you can pick up on Amazon or buy at a Christian bookstore anointing the sick. And I certainly would encourage you to get one with a roller ball. When I came back here 20-something years ago and I would go to churches, and, she didn't have one, good. But some churches, they'll have like a big quart of oil. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but I don't want to dabble with this big thing of oil, trying not to pour it out all over my clothes and then splash the person I'm supposed to be anointing, and then I destroyed their clothes. And so I would encourage you, just get one of these little vials with a little roller ball. See, nothing comes out. No spills, no thrills, but it works. It serves the purpose, rather. So there are different ways, individual's faith, the Lord's Supper, and then finally the praying with agreement. And I'm reading through this because I don't have time to talk about it. Make sure you're prepared. Know at least a half a dozen healing scriptures. Keep in mind a few testimonies that you've personally seen God do. So if you are going to pray for the sick, you can say, hey, before I pray for you, let me tell you what I saw God do. That'll encourage them, right? Wow, you really saw it? I sure did. Okay. Remember, you're not the healer. You're only the witness. Ask God for boldness. I'm only a witness. I'm only witnessing of what I saw him do and what I heard him say. And then I finish up this teaching by just saying, if an opportunity presents itself, be led by the Spirit. Make yourself available for God to use. Remember that you're there to serve. Know that He's there with you. Find out where the person is in faith. What are they believing God for? Are they believing for a miracle? Are they believing for successful surgery? Find out what they're believing God for so you're on the same page. Witness of what you've seen God do and what you've heard God say. If they're open for prayer, lay your hands on them or take them and take them by the hand right there and then. You'll surprise them, but if they said, sure, pray for me, do it on the spot. Pray with expectation that God's going to show up and confirm His word. Pray for them and then pray with them. So when I pray for the sick, I lay my hands on them and I pray for them. And then when I'm done, I say, now repeat this with me. And I have them get involved also. Have the person examine themselves right at the end. Now, if it was like high blood pressure, maybe high cholesterol, they probably can't check it out. But if they were in pain or they were disabled or they were physically injured and there's something they couldn't do, have them examine themselves instantly after you've prayed for them. And then finally here, last three, if need be, take a praise break. Take a praise break. And all that just simply means is that after you've prayed for them and they examine themselves, if it looks like, well, okay, I mean, I think there might be a partial manifestation or maybe no manifestation, take a praise break before they go and encourage them to do that as often as necessary. And a praise break just simply is this, is I prayed for a lady at South Hills Assembly of God in outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and she had all these issues with her and in pain, and I prayed for her. And nothing happened. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, take a praise break. I never heard anybody say that. What's a praise break? But I knew what he meant. I said, okay, well, sister, I'll tell you what. Let's just close our eyes. Let's say this together. And so I just led her in something just simple, just kind of making it up on the spot. Lord, we worship you. We thank you. We praise you. You're the healer. Thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness. I can always depend on your word. And that's just a praise break. I was done. I said, before I move on, examine yourself. She had 100% full healing manifestation. Wow, okay. I went to the second person. It was identical. I prayed for her. There was partial healing manifestation. Yeah, feels a little better. I said, let's take a praise break. So we just thank you, Lord. We worship, we praise you, we honor you. Did it for just a moment or so. I said, would you go ahead and check yourself out? 100% healing manifestation. God's my witness. I was there. Third lady, exactly the same thing. I've never seen that happen like that. The third person, exactly the same. I prayed for not quite healing manifestation. I said, let's take a praise break. When we were done, 100% full total healing manifestation. So I definitely added that to my things to remember when I'm trying to help my brothers and sisters like you this morning, that when you pray for somebody, have them examine themselves. And if there's maybe only a partial or even no manifestation, take a little praise break before they go their way. Say, let's just worship God. Let's thank God for what He has done, for what He's doing now as we go our way. And wonderful things happen. Send them home thanking God for what has happened and for what He is doing. And then tell them to write it down. Write it down. And that's why when I pray for the sick, I often give them like a little simple card like that. And it just simply, I say, all you got to do, I just want you to make a note of it, write today's date, and on the back, what we prayed for. So today's date is what? 24. So just, I said, I want you to take this as a reminder that we touched base with God today. And so they would say, on November 24th, hands were laid on me according to Mark 16:18. I believe I received my healing. This case is closed. The battle's over. Victory's mine. I take it now in Jesus' name. Lord, you're my healer and your word is enough. And as they go their way, I say, I want you to go your way. I want you to take this card. Remember, I told you earlier about the man that I prayed for in Virginia who had a deaf ear, totally deaf. And I prayed for him. It was on a Sunday night. And I said, brother, I want you to take this card because on this day, we connected. We received. We prayed. Thank you, Lord. You're my healer. Case closed. He said, money came around, and I checked. I couldn't hear anything, but I had that card, and I began to make that faith declaration, that little praise break. Tuesday came around. I checked. I couldn't hear anything, but I made that little faith declaration, you know, read that card and a little praise break. That's when Wednesday came around, and he checked, and he said, my ear opened up, and I don't even know when it happened. Isn't that awesome? So on those notes, friend, if Jesus demonstrated his healing power, God, back then, he absolutely wants to demonstrate his healing power in, by, and through you. You're the church, right? He could only be in one place at one time. Look at the church today. It extends by the millions around this globe. So we are the hands, we're the feet of Jesus, we're the mouthpiece. And you are an anointed vessel of righteousness. He will use you if you want to be used. You know, some people don't, but if you want to be used. So I'm going to close in prayer, lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for your word today. It is truth. I acknowledge it as truth. I receive it as truth. I'm asking you to seal the word in my heart and in my mind. Help me be a doer of your word, not a casual listener. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that are coming my way to minister to the sick. I make myself available. I am at your service. I am willing and I am ready and wanting to be used by you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Stacy's coming. She's going to close and dismiss us. And for anybody that wants to stay afterward, we're going to have an anointing service, and then we are going to have a healing service for